how dedicated you are to getting room noise, mm-hmm. all of that room noise...
It's just car noise?
...will be the cars.
It's just traffic
the
noise.
Very loud traffic.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can feel your stress.
I'm very stressed.
Yeah, no, I see it in your face. You carry your stress in your face.
I would like... I would like you to go outside and hold a sign to stop traffic
no,
for a
I'll
moment
do that.
While I get
I'll
room noise.
I'll do that for you.
Okay.
But think? Later.
But later. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. How you doing?
Good. Listen, we're going to start it like this.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Moved across
just,
our arms.
I just and took charge. Listen.
It's very hot.
Yeah. We have established that. Every time we record, it is very warm. It's still very warm. Yes. I would just like to address a few things.
Oh, nuts.
Yeah, and I waited till you pushed that red button. No, I feel like I definitely have to say thank you.
Why?
To you, specifically.
I'm glad this is being recorded.
Because you have been editing all of our episodes, mm-hmm. and you've been very sweet, not telling me I whisper and then I scream and that when I laugh, I sound like I'm being suffocated to death.
What?
Because I got to edit mm-hmm. an episode.
Episode 6.
Last night. Yeah. And the whole time I was thinking, have I always laughed this loud? It is very intense. But then I do this like gasp for air immediately after I laugh. It sounds like I'm drowning.
I don't even have a joke for that.
You're like, yes,
yep,
yes,
that's exactly.
You do.
You're so cute and sweet.
Stop it. But then also you.
Oh, great. I knew.
No,
it was like a thank you
no,
followed by a.
No, stop it.
But
it
you're
was,
worse.
No, but you're terrible. You're always telling me to like speak up. And I'm too quiet. And then, but when you feel like you're at a part of your story that's super intense,
yeah.
you get super fucking quiet
Do
too.
I?
So that's one of the things I have to talk to you about. Cause I'm like, there's some parts I have no idea what you're saying. Cause you go into this little whisper and then I have no idea what happens.
I like that you started that whisper
example.
I was like,
they're not going to hear it.
It's not like a mouse.
Whisper, it's just going to sound weird.
Okay.
See, like right there. I go, gasp, but I cannot breathe. I use
These are all
the
good
last
notes.
Breath I have in my lungs to laugh. And then it's like my body, oops, I feel like you're dying, you're suffocating. And then I'd bounce back.
You laugh like it's the last laugh you'll ever laugh.
Oh, for sure. But that's hard from an audio standpoint is what I'm saying. I've never thought about it before until I was listening to it. And
okay.
I literally thought, do I laugh like this all the time? And no one has told me.
See, what's
no one has asked me if I am okay after I laugh.
Is she laughing or is she somehow
alive?
Drowning?
Is she choking
in normal...
on something?
Yeah.
Because it's like this very intense, deep breath.
I love your laugh. It's one of the things that made me fall in love with you. Absolutely.
I feel like you're being sweet though, and you don't love my laugh while you're editing, and you just have been too nice to say anything.
You know, it's funny because I always count out who spikes the audio more when
Do
I edit.
Do you really? God, you're
yeah.
so OCD.
I know.
Jeez. You're like, because I did a better job on
no,
that episode.
No, it's
than
not
you
that I do
did.
A better job. I just think it's so adorable to me that you, because you do, you get so into your stories. But then when you
forget,
laugh, you give
I
your full self to it.
I literally forget we're recording,
yeah.
and then I just get super into it, and then it goes off the charts.
Don't stop laughing. I feel
no.
like that's
so now
people love
I'm
it.
Only going to speak at this level for all remaining episodes and I'm never going to laugh.
I feel like you're going to laugh right now.
No.
Yeah, you are.
No. But now it just makes sense to me when I go and I listen to some of my favorite podcasts.
Right.
I'm like, these guys probably didn't have to edit shit
right.
in this
no,
episode.
Right, no, the monotone ones?
Because it's
absolutely.
So monotone. I mean, they're still very interesting, but I'm always like, shake it up a little, guys. Have some personality. Now
yeah.
I know why.
Well, you
don't have personality.
Don't know
doesn't,
personality.
It doesn't benefit you in this.
But if you look at like The Dollop or My Favorite Murder, they are all over the place as well with their
I
volume.
Feel like they have professional people, though.
Yeah.
I am not, even that noise I made with my mouth, I'm thinking about that's going to be a bitch to.
Those do. Those always stand out to me because we both do that.
Yeah, so you do them too, though. I do it too. You, yeah, absolutely. When you were showing me, you so nicely were like, you do this all the time. Here it is.
I don't know why I just did four examples of it in a row. Don't
think, so you're editing this one. But then towards the end, you were doing the same thing.
I think absolutely.
It's just like, I don't know what it is, but.
No, I hate myself whenever I edit. Right. Absolutely.
Right. Now I'm very aware of it, so I'm very curious to see how this episode is going to go. Because I'm going to be like, don't laugh too loud. Don't make weird fucking noises with your mouth. Because apparently I've been for the last six episodes.
Well, I will stand behind the fact that I love your laugh, and I'm happy to edit that laugh. Whoa. Cutting that out.
Nope, that stays in.
Damn.
That's pure gold. We're keeping that.
I'm happy to edit that laugh because it makes me happy to hear it. And I think it makes the people happy to hear it.
The people.
Hey.
Yo. You're sitting on clean,
am I?
Underwear free.
No.
Bedding. Yeah. This is what a grown-up bed looks like.
I washed my daytime underwear today. I don't want to talk about my daytime undies on every podcast. Because
your mom is at your apartment, so I feel like you had to wash your daytime undies.
I abandoned her to come do this episode.
And I chose a story based a little bit on your family being in town.
Well, that's super creepy.
And I hope I don't offend anyone when I actually say what the story is. You're going to be so mad. You're going to be like, why would you pick this story?
I am.
Really, let's just think of it as a family dynamic kind of story, but that's neither here nor there because you get to start.
Yeah, I'm gonna kick this off. Do you want to hold the old microphone? I don't know why.
I was waiting. Did you see? Yep. I was like, "Where's this gonna go? What's he gonna call it? Come on, follow through."
So this story is when we made our list initially of stories we wanted to tell. This was the very first one I put on my list.
Shit, I don't remember. I knew it
right off the bat that I wanted to tell this tale.
Ooh.
It's about murder,
yes.
Which I know you enjoy, and it is a true, true story.
And it's a good call, because I am not doing a murder this week.
Really?
And I will well, remember, I try to mix it up, and now I'm over it, so I'm going back to murder.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fair. I feel like I've done three.
I've done three.
In a row?
Right? Haven't I?
I don't know. If you're doing another one without murder, yep. Yeah. Didn't the last one end in...
I mean, people die. There was like a mass murder? People die. Yeah. But not the main person. Okay. You're asking too much of me.
All right, so this is the story of the Bloody Benders.
I don't know it.
Have you heard of these? No?
Even if I have, I will not speak until you say, I am done with this story. Oh, that's what else I was going to say.
What's that?
You sounded so sad the last episode when I was like, wasn't that a true story? There's an instant shift in your voice when you start talking again. You are so crushed.
Because I was so excited to tell you it was a true story.
Because I was going to do that story. That's why I was like, oh, I wonder if he knows this is actually a true story and not just an urban legend.
Yeah.
But I see now where you're going with it. So I will speak when you say, and that is the end of the story. Okay.
No. You interject. Yeah. I do feel like you're going to enjoy this one. So let me get into it. That'll be tough to edit.
Well, you're going to do it. So away.
In May 1871.
1871.
Yeah, already interrupted. Sorry. Doing real well.
Hey, it's witty banter. Well, that wasn't so much. I was just literally repeating what you said. But let's call it some witty beat and just keep going.
In May 1871, the corpse of a man named Jones was found in Drum Creek in Labett County, Kansas.
Oh my God, I'm so into everything that's happening right now. Yes. Okay.
He had his skull smashed in and his throat slit. Still into it?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Overkill?
In 1872, two more men were found murdered the same way. Heads smashed in and throats gutted with a blade. By 73, reports of disappearances in the area were so common, travelers began to avoid the main trail, which is now called the Santa Fe Trail. It was widely known for horse thieves and villains. But this
villains.
Was, that was a quote, by the way. Quote,
I love
horse
it.
Thieves,
the
thieves
villains.
And villains. But this was something different. Many were brought in for these crimes, but every single one of them was released. Authorities were at a loss.
Did you push the record button?
You are just... I'd like to call back to the fact that 2 seconds ago, I'm not going to interrupt.
Because you're always checking it.
Wait, why is it blinking? Oh, because we're spiking. Every time that flashes red?
Pinch you? On it. Oh, it just did, but I think that was me. I still get to pinch you, right?
Now, just prior to these murders, a band of 5 families, spiritualists, has settled around the area of Osage. Osage? Osage County. Yeah, it's like that Julia Roberts
whatever
movie.
You want it to be.
A couple families moved away within the year due to rough terrain and conditions. The ones who stayed tended to keep to themselves. Among them were John Bender Sr. and John Bender Jr.
I mean, clever.
They didn't name themselves. Or did they?
I mean, they named the junior.
The older... The older Bender, known as Pa, was a thick German man in his 60s who didn't speak much English. He laid claim to 160 acres, built a cabin, a barn, and a well, and was shortly after joined by Elvira Bender, or Ma, and her daughter Kate, who advertised herself as a spiritual medium and healer. The Benders used their homestead as a grocery store and inn for travelers. There wasn't much else around. The single-room structure was divided by a canvas curtain that split the general store and inn from the Benders' living quarters. The place itself wasn't too impressive, but they drew quite a few visitors, largely because of Kate. You see, Kate was gorgeous, outgoing, and chock-full of moxie. Men in the nearby city were smitten with her, and she always gathered quite a crowd when performing public seances or lectures on spiritualism. Just like you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Many of the gents who grew infatuated with her would travel to her inn to see more of her. Many were never heard from again.
Oh.
Best interjection ever.
I'm like so into it.
Among those who disappeared were George Newton Longcore and his infant daughter, Marianne. Aww. They were moving from Independence, Kansas to Iowa. I don't know why. I can say that because I'm from Iowa.
Okay.
But they never made it.
Chicago. That's all I'm going to say from now on. There's got to be a long pause.
In the spring of 1873, their former neighbor, Dr. William York, went looking for them, traveling along the trail until he reached Fort Scott. No luck. He turned and headed back to Independence, but failed to make it home. He was gone, vanished, and his 2 brothers suspected foul play. They launched an all-out search. One of the brothers, Colonel Ed York, took to the trail and ended up at the Bender's Inn. He questioned the family, who admitted to having seen his brother, but said he left a while ago. They suggested he might have been attacked by one of the local tribes in the area. York bought the story and actually joined them for dinner before heading back to the city. On April 3rd, a woman showed up in town in hysterics, claiming Ma Bender had threatened her with blades and guns. Now, Ma was not a kindly woman. She was so cruel and vicious, in fact, that neighbors would later admit to referring to her as the she-devil. York rounded up a few men and headed back to the Bender's Inn as soon as he heard the frantic woman's story. Kate and John denied the woman's claims as a mother didn't speak enough English to refute them herself. But as the visitors insisted on more information, she suddenly launched into a rage, spewing that the woman was a witch, that she came and cursed their coffee, and that she would kill her if she ever saw them again, or saw her again.
I hate when my coffee's cursed.
Well, the key here
yeah.
is that her English quickly improved.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She forced the men out, raving until they left. As they were departing, Kate ran to York and asked him to return on Friday, alone. She said she would use her clairvoyant abilities to locate his brother. Now, suspicion was rising in the community, and a town meeting was called. 75 locals attended, including John Sr. and John Jr. They stood in the back and listened as it was decided that every home between Big Hill Creek and Drum Creek would be searched. Perhaps foolishly, the Bender's Inn was not the first house on that list. It was a mere 3 days later that a neighbor was riding by the Bender's land and noticed that the farm animals were unfed and moaning in hunger. He knocked on the door, but there was no answer. The home was abandoned. The men went into town, and Colonel York, along with several others, soon rallied to the property. They found the house empty, food, clothing, personal possessions all gone. What remained was a foul smell. A smell the dogs traced to a trap door on the floor, A trapdoor just behind the curtain. A trapdoor nailed shut.
Yes.
They pried it open and found the cellar doused in blood.
Ooh.
No bodies, though. The mob of people actually moved the structure from its foundation and dug through the night, finding nothing. It wasn't until a neighbor spoke an offhanded comment about how fresh their garden always looked. You like that? My.
What? Is that how you garden?
That's how I address a garden.
Address a garden? Oh, you dress the garden itself?
You don't talk to gardens?
No, but
they,
I will.
They I'll say start. You talk to plants to keep them happy. Get hip.
So okay. Do you have plants?
How fresh the garden looked, that attention turned to the loose soil beneath the plants. York's brother was the first body to be found, face down, just feet beneath the ground, or feet just beneath the ground. Eight more bodies were found within seven grave sites, along with one in a well and a plethora of body parts. All but one had their heads smashed in and throat slit. The papers called them indecently mutilated. The one who was found intact was a young girl who authorities suspected had been buried alive. A Roman prayer book was found inside with notes written in German saying, among other things, Big Slaughter Day, Jan 8th.
Jeez.
And hell departed. It was deduced that guests who visited the inn were invited to a meal and sat in the seat of honor, their backs to the canvas divider. Kate would sit across from them, distracting them, while John Sr. or Jr. would creep up behind the curtain and bash their skull in with a hammer. The body would be dropped through the trap door, where its throat would be slit, spraying the room with blood, and the body ravaged for anything worth stealing. One man, hearing the theory, recalled the time he had been invited to dine with them, but had refused to sit in the special chair. Kate had threatened him with a knife, causing him to flee. Others recounted similar stories, all ending with Kate's sweet charm turning to wicked anger when the men wouldn't comply, and an emergence of the male benders from behind the curtain with ominous dispositions. Later, bullet holes would be found in the side of the house. It's presumed that there were some men who fought back, and a gun is what ended their vigor. The benders escaped, and though there are many tales of them being captured and killed by vigilantes, none were ever substantial enough to claim their reward. In 1884, a man matching a description of Pa Bender was captured for killing someone with a hammer blow to the head. But before
it's probably just coincidence.
But before he could be identified as the elder Bender, an attempt to sever his foot from his iron binds left him bleeding and eventually dead.
Jeez.
Yeah. Dedication.
Guilty.
Dedication.
Guilt.
He didn't do it. By the time authorities arrived to ID him, he had decomposed beyond recognition. This was in a time where it took a while to get places.
Right.
They still claimed he was Pa Bender, even though a conflicting report had another supposed Pa Bender committing suicide near Lake Michigan earlier that year. In 1889, two women were arrested for larceny and soon after charged with the Bender murders. While they both claimed the other was part of the Bender family, they maintained their own innocence. Charges were soon dropped for insufficient evidence. And that's it. That's where it ends.
So is it?
But one more thing you might find interesting. I'm sure you already know if you'd like to tell the people
at home. I'll just finish the story for you. You've helped me get here, so let me just wrap it up for you.
The Bender family? Not a real family at all. In fact, those weren't even their real names. John Bender was actually John Flickinger. Elvira, Ma, was born Almira Hill Mark. She'd been married to Simon Mark. I don't know if they were related. Who she had 12 kids with.
Jeez.
And later William Griffith. She was thought to have murdered several husbands.
Eh.
You get it. Kate was thought to be Elvira's fifth child, born Sarah Eliza Mark. And John Jr. was actually John Gebhard, who neighbors claim wasn't Kate's brother, but her husband. Whoever they were, they murdered at least 20 people with the use of three hammers, a shoe hammer, a claw hammer, and a sledgehammer, along with a knife with a 4-inch tapered blade that still bears dried blood. Today can be seen by request at the Kansas Museum of History. And that is the story of America's first serial killing family.
So I'm confused. So, so it's an actual family, and they haven't been caught. They weren't ever caught.
They're probably dead now.
No, no, they're still out there, I'm pretty sure.
They were never caught.
So that part of the story...
supposedly.
...is true.
Wait, which part? With the whole thing's true.
Yeah, okay.
So we don't know...
just their names that weren't...
Yeah, the names, like, they basically came in, said they were a family.
Right, okay.
And nobody... but nobody knows anything about them, and they vanished, and whether or not they were killed by vigilantes or...
how'd they find out who they actually were then, is my question.
I have no... I mean, I'm sure
tell
they
me
were,
everything. Tell me everything.
I'm sure they
you
were able to
this.
Deduce, like, a little bit of their lineage of where they came from or trace them in some way. I don't know exactly how, but... over time, these things kind of come to light.
But the story is actually called The Bloody Benders?
The Bloody Benders, because the Bender name was the name they took on as the family. And the entire thing, I mean, the entire thing is true, and it just, it boggles my mind, such a systematic way of killing people, that there would be basically a temptress who would lure them in, they'd sit in a seat, and from behind the curtain, bash their head in with a skull.
It just seems strange, too, that, like... why would a family go through all of this and work so hard? It seems like just to kill people. Like they're not getting property
them.
Or but yeah, but how much cash do you bring when you go over to a friend's house for dinner? Hundreds and hundreds of dollars? I don't.
Yeah.
I never even have cash on me.
Well, I'm sure I'm absolutely positive that part of the thrill was just, you know, the bloodlust that they had.
I don't understand.
And they all, I don't know. And the brother slash husband was known around town as a dimwit. Like they thought he was, that's what they called him back then. But, you know, that he was
mentally impaired. Yeah.
So I don't know if that was all part of the act or what it was. But and the parents pretending not to know how to speak English. I mean, they went into depth when they could have just killed people.
That's what I mean. They had like the whole, they're actors. They had a whole backstory. Yeah. They had, they were dedicated.
I can't, I don't know.
You can't kill people?
No. I was gonna,
oh,
I
no,
just
you
can't.
Can?
Yeah, no, that's no problem.
No, that part is fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, how creepy would it be if you go to meet this girl you like, her parents for the first time, and then they kill you? Probably not that creepy after
that
you're dead.
That wouldn't be creepy. It would just be, yeah. Shitty.
But, yeah. So what's your story?
Well, I can't believe I've never heard that before.
Yeah, it's a good one. I always thought it would make a good movie. I don't know. I know somebody has the option to it. I don't know if they're going to do anything with it.
I feel like they've been sitting on it for a while. This story is from the goddamn 1800s, right? Wasn't it?
Yep.
Yep.
1870s.
Yeah. I listen.
Hey guys, we're going to take a really quick break to tell you how you can get access to more than 500 horror movies and shows for free. Nothing, nada, zippo, zilch.
Okay, yep, that's right. We're talking about Screambox, a 100% fan-focused horror streaming service that you can view on your phone, Roku, Apple TV.
Or laptop, like we've been doing in bed.
Yep, we've been working our way through the Backyard Butchers category.
That's what's so cool about it. You select your main genre, supernatural, killers, monsters, etc. Then it takes you to subgenres like zombies, slashers, or home invasion movies, which I know you love.
Mm-hmm. It makes finding what you want to watch super easy. You can check out trailers, add movies to your queue, or just start watching. And right now, if you head to sotwpodcast.com and sign up for our email list, you'll get access to a special 30-day trial. Absolutely free.
That's right. So go to sotwpodcast.com, sign up, check out Screambox, and let us know what you like. Let us know what we should be watching.
Okay. Back to our stories.
What do you got?
Are you ready?
Oh, I'm so ready.
Okay. It's pretty disturbing.
Great.
Surprise! It's twisted.
Wait, I tried not to go into too much like gory detail in mine. Is yours pretty gory?
It's not gory. It's just, I'm going to tell you the facts, and the facts are very disturbing.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
So, settle in.
Last time you said that, I did not sleep at all.
It's... I don't want to say it's not that bad. It's bad in a different
kind
of way, but it does still have to deal with children.
I know.
Okay. It's real rough, but okay. like I said, because your family's in town, I picked this story based about, you know, it's just a family, just that dynamic.
Of Great.
So this is the child of rage, Beth Thomas.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right. So I got my info from AmericaNow.com, AllThingsCrimeBlog.com, and then I have a few very short clips for you to watch because this is actually a documentary that came out, I think, 1990,
mm-hmm.
That was produced by Gabby Monet.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Also from news.com.au I got info from. So just spreading it all around. All right. So
in 1992,
a documentary called Child of Rage was released. It featured Beth Thomas's sessions with her psychiatrist. At just 6 years old, Beth tells her psychiatrist that her adoptive parents, Tim and Julie, lock her in her room at night. When he asks why, she says it's to stop her from hurting her brother and stabbing her parents to death. It was determined that Beth had developed psychopathic behavior as a result of abuse as a baby. So Beth's mother died when she was just a very small child, and her father says violently sexually abused her until she was about a year and a half.
Wait, until she was about a year and a half?
Mm-hmm.
He violently that, right? Yep. Sexually abused her.
Mm-hmm,
and...
Just keep going. Yeah.
I think that's terrifying enough.
I don't even... Okay, so her and her younger brother, Jonathan, were removed from their father's care, and both were adopted by Tim and Julie. That's sweet, right?
Man, you're setting it up to not be very sweet.
No, I'm just saying, keeping them together.
Okay.
I feel like that's not something that... Don't be so...
I feel like you're like, that's sweet, right? No.
Then they all die. No, I'm just kidding. God. So there's, of course, an adjustment period. Well, I don't know. I would imagine there's an adjustment period when adopting children. But Tim and Julie noticed pretty quickly that something wasn't quite right with young Beth. She became fascinated with death and displayed bizarre sexual behavior. Her brother Jonathan had similar behavior, but to a much lesser degree.
What is their age? Do we know?
Not yet. During her sessions, she's six.
So shortly after.
So shortly after she's adopted and she's been with Tim and Julia.
Okay, so less than 10.
Less than 10 what?
Years old.
Oh, yeah.
We assume. Okay. I don't know how long she was waiting to be adopted.
But she's six in her interview sessions. She's already been adopted when she's six.
Oh, she's already been adopted. Okay. When she's got six. Got it.
So I would say when she's two, maybe two and a half, they've adopted her. So she's been with them for a few years.
How do they find out that her dad was...
We're getting there.
Okay.
Hey, don't talk.
So many questions.
So Beth was fascinated with violence and started killing baby birds. After she started sexually abusing her brother and torturing the family dog, Tim and Julie reached out to the adoption agency, who were told that that the two children had come from a situation of severe neglect. But that's it.
What's your return policy?
Oh, I know. So they had to dig into the children's past themselves, and that's when they learned that Beth had been abused. So... I have a fun little clip for you. I hope it's the right one. So this is Beth in her session. She's talking about her family pets.
And what do you do to the animals, Beth?
Stick them with pins.
What'd she say?
Stick them with pins.
Do you stick them a little bit or a lot?
A lot.
What are you trying to do to the animals, Beth?
Kill them.
Damn.
She's so...
It's so nonchalant.
Yeah, matter of fact about it. And like, yeah, trying to kill him. Sup? So they tried talking to Beth about her behavior several times to no avail. The situation continued to worsen. Beth was having recurring nightmares, had to be hospitalized because she was masturbating several times a day until she bled.
Oh, are we not supposed to be doing that?
Oh my god. You're so weird. It's not an appropriate thing to say at this time. God, and I just drowned a little bit right there. Did you hear it? And she would push pins into her brother.
She pushed pins into her brother? Mm-hmm. I mean, I gotta be honest, I care more about the dog.
Oh, that's mean.
It's not mean. It's just true. Baby. I thought he was the same age.
He's younger. All right. A little bit younger. Aw. So right, that's after, sad, yeah. After Beth smashed Jonathan's head into a cement floor in an effort to kill him.
Oh my gosh, that's her brother, yeah?
Yeah. Tim and Julie sought professional help. So this is where the documentary Child of Rage is born. So this doc shows 6-year-old Beth telling her therapist, Dr. Ken McGid, that she enjoys hurting others and dreams about murdering her parents and her brother.
You have another clip?
Show do! That one creeped me out so much just because she adds the a lot at the end. She's like, I would be terrified of this child if I was her doctor. She's talking about her brother.
Right.
Right. So Beth was diagnosed with reactive attachment disorder, a condition that's caused by extreme physical or emotional abuse. This disorder prevents the person from being able to connect with others. RAD is a common diagnosis of children who have been adopted. The documentary shows a reserved girl calmly answering the questions that are posed to her. When asked, what would you like to happen to mommy and daddy? She responds with, die. So Tim and Julie said their lives became miserable and Beth had uncontrollable rage. They said her acts of violence became more and more frightening. For example, Julie noticed several knives were missing from the kitchen and immediately thought of Beth. And for good reason, because she had them. So this is the last little clip I have for you.
What do you want to do with those knives?
Kill John and Mommy and Daddy.
And when Mommy asks you about where the knives are, what do you say?
I don't know where they are.
And at least she's honest.
She sounds so sweet, though. That's such a good lie.
Well, she looks sweet, too.
She's like, I don't know where they are. She pulled them out of the dishwasher and stashed them in her room. And that's why they started locking her in her room at night, so that she couldn't stab them in their sleep. She's 6.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So at this point, Tim and Julie.
How do you do anything? How do you live your life? How are you in your house?
You're terrified of a 6-year-old.
Because you can't leave her alone.
No.
But you don't want to be with her.
Oh, I know.
Oh my gosh, yeah. What a pickle.
It's a pickle, yep. At this point, Tim and Julie said she had tried to kill Jonathan several times. Beth had become so dangerous that she was removed from the home and out of the care of Tim and Julie, and into the care of a professional therapist named Connell Watkins, with whom she spent the next 18 months with. During this period, Beth underwent training for intensive behavior modification. The hope was that Beth would be able to develop empathy for others, and that would end her psychopathic behavior. Beth's freedom was radically restricted, and she was still locked in her bedroom at night, so she couldn't hurt anybody. This therapist also had a daughter, so didn't want her, like, roaming.
She lived in the house with the therapist? Why was she not in a facility?
Nope. She was just, like, in this chick's house.
Jeez. Okay.
So over time, Beth's restrictions were slowly removed, and eventually she was sharing a bedroom with her therapist's daughter. From all accounts, yeah. So from all accounts, Beth grew up to be a healthy person. She studied nursing, wrote a book called More Than a Thread of Hope, and along with her second adoptive mother, Nancy Thomas, established a clinic for children with severe behavior disturbances. So happy ending for her.
Okay. I feel like it's not.
Not so much for Beth's therapist, Connell Watkins. Watkins kept pushing the boundaries and began practicing an attachment therapy practice called rebirthing. This involves wrapping a troubled child in blankets and pushing against them with pillows for 70 minutes. It's supposed to simulate being born and provide an outlet for the child's rage, which will help them bond with their caregiver when it's over. She began filming these sessions, and in 2001, 10-year-old Candace Newmaker was smothered to death during her session with Watkins and four other adults as her adoptive mother watched on. In her video, the little girl can be heard screaming that she was, quote, going to die more than 10 times before she eventually suffocated.
Oh my gosh.
Watkins was convicted of reckless child abuse resulting in death and was given a 16-year prison sentence. She was paroled after serving 7.
This was a woman who helped Beth.
Yeah. So that's the end of the story. And I have like so many things I want to know your opinion on. Which exactly, this is the chick who Beth spent 18 months with. What kind of hell do you think the little girl had to go through?
There's nothing on there about what sort of treatments she was
putting her through. She might have talked about it in her book, which I do want to read, but I couldn't find anything on how Watkins actually helped Beth. And also, it's so hard. I mean, this little girl is 6 and has come from like such a traumatic,
right,
like experiences that you can't, I don't know, it's hard to blame her. But again, yeah, I mean, I've thought about adopting a child. You've said you're not
against it.
Yeah. Opposed to it. But what do you do if you get a child who has issues like this? And also, I think it's so fucked up they didn't tell the parents.
Well, absolutely.
Because then they're just not equipped to handle anything and give her what she needs.
I mean, there's a difference between getting a child who's troubled or dealing with past
Wouldn't you think, okay, this child was removed at 1.5 years. How could they possibly remember anything?
But that's
I don't remember anything before I was like 7.
But that's very late in life.
Blocking the last stuff out, probably.
But it doesn't matter. You don't have to remember what happened to have it affect you. I'm sure these things seemed innate to her. Do you know? They just is how she was, and she didn't know why. She just had this desire to kill and to masturbate until she bled.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there's like a whole section in the movie where the mom's talking about she would just drop her pants. They would be out in public and she would just do it until literally she rubbed her skin raw and would bleed.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, I mean, okay, so you've adopted this child and they are having these problems. You can't send the kid back. Fucked up.
I don't, but...
You sound so much like you'd be like, never mind.
I'm good.
You're just adding to that child's issues.
This one's defective.
Yeah.
But,
oh my God.
But the thing is, it's
I shook her real hard too, and she's still...
But there's a difference to me, and I'm sure we're going to hear what an asshole I am for saying this, but there's a difference to me between getting a child who needs special attention or help and giving that to her and spending the time with her, doing whatever it takes, and then taking 2 children and having this child try and kill the other one repeatedly. Like, that's not a safe environment for anybody. And I'm not saying they need to give her back to the orphanage, but you need to have her committed.
Which they did, though. That's what they did. She went with this therapist and they got her, like, the help and all of that. It's just...
But sooner. They stuck with her for a while.
I know, but... I could see how it's like, okay, they said she came from this like super horrible past and like, you know, she might not be super comfortable with us and is acting out or whatever. Like, I don't know how long those kinds of adjustments take. That I don't know that right away I would be like, oh, red flags.
To me, it's so...
And it just seems too, they spent so much time with her.
Yeah.
And then to have to be like, okay, we can't do this anymore. Would be so hard for the little girl, too.
But, I mean, would it... If she's a sociopath...
She's not, though. She's grown up. She works... She's, like, a nurse for, like, for babies.
That doesn't matter.
You think she's...
Absolutely.
That was one of my other questions. Do you think she really is better?
No, not at all. Absolutely not. I think that... I mean, you look at, okay.
Well, so, you don't think she's out killing people.
I don't think she's out, well, who fucking knows? I don't think she's out killing people. I really don't. And she's obviously learned to cope, but I think that's what it is she learned coping mechanisms to overcome these things. Again, they're not her fault. This is done to her.
But I also wonder, did she learn coping mechanisms or did she suffer like more crazy abuse from that therapist and just like learn to shut all of that off? That's still a
coping mechanism. It's, I guess, you know, yeah. But and that's what's so sad is like the fucking dad, he did this to her.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a big difference between being a psychopath, which is something that is you're born with, being a sociopath, which is something that you develop because of circumstances. And I know they called her a psychopath, but technically she's a sociopath. But you learn, you can learn to control those things and to function in an in society. This
was the 90s too, so I think everyone exactly. was a psychopath.
Well, yeah. But yeah, so my assumption, and if she's listening to this, it's not your fault, but is that she's learned to cope and that she's learned to live a functional life and function in society. I mean, don't you think? Or do you think that she's cured?
I just don't know how, I wouldn't say cured. I don't know how people bounce back from something that traumatizing. I don't know. I'm just so curious to know
the therapies.
What else she had to deal with. Yeah, and that therapy. Because she was with that chick all day, every day for a year and a half.
Yeah, and that woman was clearly...
That woman was off her rocker.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm also kind of curious to know what happened to the brother and how he turned out.
Yeah, I couldn't find a lot of information on him, but from I took it to mean that Tim and Julie continued to raise him. And I wonder if they, you mean, have any contact or anything?
Well, I just wonder, like, how, because they said that he was displaying, you know, to a lesser degree, but similar instincts.
Yeah, but Beth would have, like, nightmares. And she would, when they were asking her about, like, well, what do you dream about? She would say, there's a man and he's falling on me and he's hurting me with parts of his body.
Fuck.
So
fuck that
I think
guy.
You would
fuck
assume he's, like, raping her, which probably took
it's
the attention
dad, yeah.
off of her younger brother. I would assume he got a lesser, you know, extent of the abuse and that it was more focused on Beth.
Oh, it hurts my stomach. It really, it's how can you fucking, how can up. You do that?
A baby. She was a year and a half when she was taken away.
And to...
Yeah.
My mom, since we're talking about my family so much, you know, she works... She's worked in the OB department her entire life, delivering babies and dealing with families. And she's told me stories, obviously no specifics, no names or anything, but about babies being brought in that had clearly tried to have things forced inside
oh
of them when they're just infants.
What is wrong with people?
And she says she feels such an innate, like, fury inside of
yeah.
her. But, you know, you can't do anything.
Yeah, no, so this is very controversial for me to say. I am a strong proponent of the death penalty.
Okay.
I think some people just shouldn't be out in society. And I think that people who abuse children, you can die. I have no sympathy for you.
Like,
I think it depends on if you're doing shit like that. If you're raping a 1-year-old,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think you should die. I think there's something very wrong with you, and I don't think you can ever come back from that to be a normal member of society. And I don't think people like that should be given a second chance. You should just take them out back and shoot them in the head.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. You're not for the whole... And you said, just to clarify...
on death row. No, let's just get it done. If you're absolutely guilty and it's proven that you're guilty and you've, like, admitted it, you know what I mean? Or you're caught.
That's the thing, is
you
it?
You just...
Yeah.
Then I think... You know, I'm all... I know there's, like, people wrongfully convicted and all that.
Right.
But I'm saying in these very cut and dry cases, which there are quite a few of...
Yeah.
Let's not drag it out. Just fucking shoot them in the head and let's be done with it.
Yeah.
Give that gun to their parents. You think they won't shoot them in the head for you if you have a weird thing about, like, executing someone? If that was my child, I would have no... I wouldn't think twice about it.
That's the thing. And I don't understand. I can't imagine trying a case and trying to give an impartial trial to somebody who has admitted to...
No, it's not possible.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, this is fun.
Yeah, this is, you know, we're going to be talking about this for like 2 hours after the podcast is over.
It was heavy. It was a shorter story. I couldn't find a lot of information on it, but
mm-hmm.
I just think I really want to watch the documentary with you.
Did you watch it already?
No. I just watched a few clips because I wanted, just because the way she's speaking, it's just so, it is so detached and it's just so matter of fact. And I don't know. I just think it's fascinating.
Everything that you do has a repercussion. And I don't think just on kids.
Me specifically?
Yeah, everything that you do. right. But I don't think just on kids. I think that every, I mean, we talk about how I try and be, I'm overly nice to people.
Oh my God. It drives me nuts. It drives me crazy. There's nice and then there's Richard nice. That's like, oh my God, he'll buy a fucking house for you if you ask him to.
Please don't ask me to. I can't afford it right now. But I think that, you know, you think about parents just going through the motions or the things they're doing to their children, and everything you do affects them in these formative years from infancy up until.
Yeah, that was kind of like very eye-opening for me, just because she was removed from the house at a year and a half, and just still everything she did was based on how she was treated over those formative years.
I mean, you're barely forming words. You're barely talking. I mean, I guess at 2, you're normally walking and rudimentary sentences, but yeah, I can't. And that's the kind of thing that I don't know about the death penalty, but if I ever found out anybody that I knew was doing something like that to a child, I don't know if I'd be able to control myself. Like, you just launch into this rage.
You don't think that person would deserve to die?
No, I don't know how I feel about the death penalty as a whole.
Really? Even in a situation like that?
No, they absolutely deserve. They absolutely deserve to die.
But you don't know that you could be the one.
I wish that they weren't on this earth. Absolutely. I don't know if I feel like it's the place of our government to kill people, because I think as a whole we have to be greater than the individual.
Oh no, I for sure think, for sure, some people just need to be.
I mean,
removed.
I feel like I would have no problem just going and removing that person.
Yourself. So yeah. I mean, then how would you?
Because I'm not the whole. I'm not the larger entity.
So you just have a problem with the system.
Yeah.
Those are your issue.
We'll get into this in another episode. All right. Well, I am exhausted. It's been a long day. I know you're
very
tired.
Warm.
I know you're tired as well. Yeah, it's hot. We've established this.
We have ice cream.
Ooh, girl. And cookies. You make cookies.
And I open the window. I'm going to open the windows because I'm very warm.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Make sure to check out SOTWpodcast.com and sign up for our email list if you haven't already. And also, guys, let us know what you're thinking about these episodes and if there's any stories that you would like to hear.
But let's not be crazy about it. Be nice, okay? It's just everybody calm down.
Be nice. Also, if you do have stories, I haven't said this in the last couple episodes, but if you do have stories that you want to share.
Yay for us. Everything is up and running officially.
That's amazing.
Everything is launched, so now we can start. I mean,
I just want to say real quick, I owe Marissa, we all collectively owe her a debt of gratitude because she got our website up single-handedly, and it is fucking amazing. Amazing.
It's pretty good, but I would say single-handedly.
Really make sure to check out our Patreon page if you want to learn how to submit your own stories to us and possibly get them read on air. Only if it scares both of us. And get some other cool perks, too. There are a couple different levels they can choose from.
Yeah, I don't remember them, but they can check it out on the other page. All of which can be found on the website.
On the website. All right, guys. Thank you so much again for listening. We'll see you next time. Good night.
Sweet dreams.